From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Last year, we saw the effects of climate change all over the world. There were a record 30 storms in the Atlantic hurricane season, apocalyptic forest fires in California and Australia and elsewhere, and in just the last couple of months, the country has seen record high temperatures in the Pacific Northwest and severe droughts in the Southwest. As climate change affects the world near and far, it's also affecting us here in Illinois. In April, the Illinois chapter of the Nature Conservancy worked with more than 40 scientists and technical experts to put together a statewide climate assessment. The report includes the most recent data on the effects of climate change in Illinois, including predictions about the future of our state's hydrology, agriculture, native ecosystems, and human health. In May, we spoke with two authors of the report, and we're revisiting that conversation today. Jim Angel is a former Illinois state climatologist and a lead author on the report. Trent Ford is current Illinois state climatologist and a contributing author on the report. Later in the conversation, you'll also hear from Dana Cronin, agriculture reporter and our colleague at Illinois Public Media. Because this conversation was first broadcast live a couple months ago, we're not taking calls today, but we always love to hear what you thought about our conversations. You can get in touch with us through our website, 21stshow.org. There you can leave us a voicemail or send us an email. The address for that, by the way, is talk@21stshow.org. Once again, that's talk@21stshow.org. All right, here now is my conversation with Jim Angel, Trent Ford, and Dana Cronin. Jim, I'm going to begin with you. The Nature Conservancy describes this statewide climate assessment as a first-of-its-kind report. What makes it a first-of-its-kind? What went into putting together this report?
Yeah, so with this report, it's first-of-its-kind for Illinois because we've done national assessments. In fact, I was myself and Don Wobbles, one of the other lead authors, were heavily involved in the national assessment from 2 years ago. But those are nice for getting the big picture view, but we really need something more detailed, more focused on Illinois to look at the impacts here. And what we found is that, you talk about polar bears and Arctic warming and things like that, but really what impacts us here in Illinois is what's happening here and how that impacts agriculture and hydrology and so forth. And so that's where this report came from, is to really focus in on the state. And I will add that all the authors on this were, this is all pro bono work. So this was an all volunteer effort.
Good to know. So Jim, the report basically has two scenarios, one where greenhouse gas emissions continue to increase, another where Illinois cuts down on its emissions. Can you talk about those two potential futures?
Yes, if you look at those two, it makes a striking contrast. So in one sense, we're already committed to some amount of warming into the future, regardless of the scenario. But with the high scenario, I sometimes call it the business as usual. It's a continuation of burning fossil fuels out to the end of the century. And that leads to some very harsh conditions for Illinois. We see not only increases in precipitation, but more concerning is the fact that we'll see much greater warming. In the ballpark of about 4 to 5 degrees by mid-century and up to 9 or 10 or 12 degrees by the end of the century. And that's a significant increase for us. But the lower scenarios where we get phase out fossil fuels and do other actions both here in Illinois and elsewhere, that leads to some warming about 3 to 4 degrees by mid-century and only about 4 to 5 degrees by the end of the century. Now, that's no walk in the park, though, because even the 4 to 5 degrees warming by the end of the century would be a significant change. You're basically shifting Illinois downward towards the Gulf of Mexico by about the length of the state by doing that. So it would be a remarkable change, and that has big impacts on a lot of what we do here as far as crops grown and what kind of activities we do.
Yeah, that's fascinating because I have I live in central Illinois. I have relatives in the Chicago area. We're always talking about how they're several weeks, you know, behind us in spring and when the farmers are planting in their fields up there. You're saying we would sort of have the entire state move to the south. Trent, you know, metaphorically speaking, but Trent, can you talk about what would that feel like in summers in Illinois, for example? You know, we're used to 90-degree days feel pretty hot sometimes here in the summer. Would we see even higher, quote-unquote, normal temperatures for us?
Yeah, so the projections, both under the lower emission scenario and the higher emission scenario that Jim had talked about, both projections indicate increases in the extreme hot days or very hot days in the summertime. Those are days where the maximum temperature can get above 90 degrees or in some cases above 100 degrees Fahrenheit, as well as an extent of those very hot days into some parts of late spring and early fall as well. And so, you know, certainly the impacts to human health, agriculture, water supplies that come with those extreme heat, that is a concern. However, as Jim mentioned, you know, the difference between the projected change in or increase in those extreme hot days between the high emissions and the lower emissions scenario is significant. And so that gives us an idea of that the sensitivity of that change and therefore the impacts that we may see towards the end of the century is sensitive to carbon dioxide emissions or greenhouse gas emissions more broadly between now and the midpoint of this century.
Trent, can you talk about changes Illinois has seen over the past century in temperature and precipitation? Talk about the time leading up to now in this assessment.
Yeah, so we have a good about 100 to 120 year record of temperature, precipitation, snowfall observations. And so, you know, over the last century, what we've seen is generally speaking, temperatures have increased. Every season has gotten warmer across Illinois. Some seasons such as winter and spring have warmed at a higher rate than summer, for example, but all seasons have gotten warmer and all seasons have gotten wetter. So when folks ask, give me the elevator speech of climate change in Illinois over the last century, it's warmer and wetter. Along with the increase in precipitation, that increase has been about 5 inches or so, 5 to 6 inches over the last 100 years. So just imagine tacking an additional month's worth of rainfall onto our typical 12-month calendar. That's the change that we've seen over the last 100 years. When it comes to rainfall, though, it's not just a change in the total, but also the intensity. So we've seen an increase in the frequency of very intense rainfall events. One example of those are days where 2 inches or more of rain falls. And we've seen that the number of those days each year increasing, making for impacts related to excessive water, flooding, soil erosion, things like that. And so overall, that's really the warmer, wetter is really the trends that we've seen pretty consistently over the last 100 years in the state.
And Jim, that sounds like more on the summer side. What about winters? It's my impression, here's some anecdata for you, right? It's my impression that I'm breaking out my snow shovel less frequently than I did 15, 20 years ago. Am I off base on that? Am I correct on that? Where is Illinois heading in terms of its winter experiences?
Yes, if you look at our winters, we've already experienced a trend towards milder conditions. And again, like you said, it's how it plays out is that we're seeing fewer, really, but we still get the same amount of snow, but it just doesn't stick around quite as much. And sometimes we get some pretty late starts, and we've had some of our lowest snowfall winters have been in the recent decade or so. So this year, I think I didn't break out the snow shovel till towards the end of January there. And we had about 2 weeks of what I call really real winter weather with the cold and snowiness. So there is this trend overall towards milder conditions in the wintertime. That's expected to continue as we move on to the rest of the 21st century. And that the kind of one of the startling studies that I found was that there were some results that showed by the end of the century, we may snowfall may be kind of a distant memory by all accounts, and that it'll be much more rare to get snow and it won't stick around too much. So that is something that may play out as we move through the 21st century is milder winter weather. Wow. Now that's good news if you don't like shoveling snow. It's bad news if you like winter sports.
Yeah. Cue up the minor key version of White Christmas right now.
Yeah.
Let me just remind our listeners, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking with Trent Ford, the current Illinois State climatologist, and Jim Angel, the former Illinois State climatologist. Trent is a contributing author, and Jim is one of the lead authors on a new report from the Nature Conservancy looking at the climate of Illinois and the potential effects of climate change here. Jim, we heard Trent talk about rainfall. Can you talk in general hydrology, right? This is just the study of water. Agriculture is also something else that could be affected. How will the state's water systems and agriculture be potentially affected by these potential climate futures we're heading into?
Yeah, if you look at what's happening in Illinois, probably the biggest headaches we've seen so far are the impacts on flooding across the state. So flooding of farm fields, that was very evident in 2019, and that's expected to continue into the future as we deal with wetter conditions, especially in the winter and spring months. But also we get urban flooding as well. And that's not just river flooding, but flooding of basements and roadways and businesses. And those have a big impact on the state as well. There was a study done a few years ago by the Water Survey where they had over $2.3 billion in insured losses over a 10-year period. So the numbers are pretty substantial. And that flooding is expected to continue. And it's also kind of this trifecta in many areas where you've got not only increased precipitation, but you've got aging infrastructure and an increased urbanization, which enhances the runoff. And those three together have caused this widespread headaches on the flooding side.
I want to bring another voice into our conversation now, and that is Dana Cronin, my colleague at Illinois Public Media. She's an agriculture and environmental reporter there and also with the Harvest Public Media Co-op. Dana, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So you report on the intersection of ag and the environment, and you know it sounds like an uphill climb for ag here in Illinois. Can you talk about how quickly is the industry adapting to some of the changes that it may be facing in the years ahead?
Yeah, definitely an uphill battle. And I think, in many ways, the industry has already had to adapt because, as we've been hearing from your other guests, the impacts of climate change are already here. The spring season has gotten a lot wetter, which has delayed planting on many farms, and summers are getting hotter and drier, which is impacting crops, but also livestock too. I think we're in an interesting moment right now with President Biden and his Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, really looking to the ag industry as sort of a means to combat the effects of climate change. Biden even mentioned cover crops in his address to Congress last week. Vilsack is talking about establishing a federal carbon bank for farmers to essentially get paid to sequester carbon. So I think these conversations are happening. It's just a matter of how to get farmers on board.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just is there a question of culture? Are we still at the point of, where there was skepticism about climate change for a long time. It seems like we're moving to a different phase of the sort of public and political conversation about that. What do you hear from Illinois farmers? Are they, eager for the federal government's programs that the President Biden and Ag Secretary Vilsack are talking about?
I think farmers are actually more aware of the effects of climate change than they're maybe generally given credit for, because really they're stewards of the land, and they're paying attention to things like weather patterns more than maybe the average person. So the fact that the climate is changing is not necessarily news to them. And I think it takes a lot for any industry to do a sort of system overhaul. And I think in order for more farmers to adopt some new climate-friendly practices and methods, it's going to take a few things. I think it's going to take financial incentives. It's going to take advancements in technology. It's going to take a lot of education and outreach. Whether that's all enough, I guess, remains to be seen.
All right, we need to take a break here. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking about a recent Illinois statewide climate assessment. It was released in April by the Illinois chapter of the Nature Conservancy. Our guests are Jim Angel, former Illinois state climatologist and a lead author on the report, Trent Ford, current Illinois state climatologist and a contributing author on the report, and Dana Cronin, agriculture reporter for Illinois Public Media. We'll continue this conversation after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us. Welcome back to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As we see climate change affecting many parts of our country and the world, it raises the question of what the future holds for Illinois. In May, we had a conversation with two Illinois-based climatologists and an agriculture reporter about a recent statewide climate assessment conducted by the Illinois chapter of the Nature Conservancy. Our guests for that discussion were Jim Angel, former Illinois state climatologist and one of the lead authors of the report, Trent Ford, current Illinois state climatologist and a contributing author on the report, and Dana Cronin, agriculture reporter and our colleague at Illinois Public Media. As I said, this conversation was first broadcast live back in May. You'll hear callers participating, but obviously we're not taking calls now because it's on tape. As always, though, we'd love to hear what you thought. Send us an email. The address is talk@21stshow.org. That's talk@21stshow.org. You can also always tweet us @21stshow. Okay, here now is the conclusion of my conversation with Jim Angel, Trent Ford, and Dana Cronin. And we have a call coming in. Jacqueline is joining us from Lake Geneva in Wisconsin. Jacqueline, thanks for calling in.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
What's your question or comment?
My question is, why isn't animal agriculture and animal aquaculture, as well as animal exploitation of all forms, being addressed as the root cause here for climate change and global warming?
Okay, thank you for the question, Jacqueline. Trent, I wonder if you have a perspective. I mean, is animal agriculture, animal aquaculture considered a contributing factor to climate change?
Yeah, certainly. So agriculture in general, estimates have put the contribution of agriculture basically mainly through emissions to global warming at about 10%. of emissions for global warming. And so, and of course, animal agriculture is a significant part of that. And so that it is an important piece of this. And the report does discuss animal agriculture, both from the impact side of things, how climate change has and is expected to affect animal agriculture, as well as animal agriculture's contribution to climate change itself.
Jim, as we anticipate these changes in our climate, can you talk about the effects that this could have on the health of people living in Illinois?
Yes, that's an important thing that often gets kind of overlooked in the discussion. We talk a lot about the dollar losses, but in terms of health, it's very significant. With the increased temperatures, we have increased risk of heat stress and heat-related illnesses across Illinois. And it's not just the urban areas. Chicago had the 1995 heat wave that killed over 700 people, but it's also a problem in rural areas as well. We also have with the warming and wetter environment is that we get more tick-borne and mosquito-borne diseases out there. And so that's a concern moving forward. And also we have the mental health issues as well. So if you put people under more stress from heat and flooding and droughts, that can wear on you emotionally and mentally. And that's an area that's kind of they're really starting to turn the spotlight on in the last year or so. So those are some important areas that we need to look at.
Dana, as these conditions change and worsen over time, whether it's a lot or less, depending on what actions we take now, we know that, you know, communities in some of the more vulnerable parts of Illinois are likely to experience the worst health effects. You recently reported on how air pollution affects people of color more than people who are white. Can you talk about why there is a disparity there and how that relates to climate change?
Sure. So air pollution, as we know, can come from all kinds of sources, you know, everything from emissions from your car to emissions from coal-fired power plants. And breathing in that air pollution impacts our health. Surprise, surprise. It can cause diseases like asthma and cancer. It can actually lead to premature death. And it's long been known that people of color are disproportionately exposed to air pollution. That's mainly due to where these communities largely live and the history of redlining in this country. I know you guys did a whole segment on that recently. But there's a new study, it came out last week, that initially tried to find out which pollutants were most harmful to people of color in order to sort of get to the root of the problem. But instead, the researchers found that actually all air pollutants were disproportionately affecting people of color, which suggests that the problem is systemic, which is what a lot of people largely suspected. And I mean, when we're talking about climate change, that is making things much worse. And you know, many of the mitigation efforts we're taking to combat climate change, things like switching to renewable energy sources, buying electric cars, those things can help reduce air pollution overall and can lessen the burden on people.
Trent, I want to ask, so we just heard about ideas to lessen the burden there on certain communities in Illinois. What is Illinois doing overall to try and counteract the negative effects of climate change? And what should it be doing?
Yeah, so there's actions going through right now in the state to increase energy efficiency and increase the amount of renewable energy. And I think something that Dana mentioned was things like electric cars, isn't things like that. Well, electric cars, of course, are going to depend on a electrical grid that is primarily based on renewable energy that diminishes that I guess enhances the climate friendliness of that electric car. And so we think about a systems based approach as opposed to an individual based approach, where the burden is taken off the individual Illinoisan to say you need to make changes. To say we need changes at the statewide level. And so energy efficiency is one major one. Again, incentives for agriculture to move to areas or move to reducing emissions in those sectors. Those are things that are going on now. And many of the studies that look to mitigation adaptation efforts suggest that actions that have been taken need to be ramped up, and action does need to be taken now to avoid the majority of the warming that our projections are showing and the impacts that come along with them.
And how much does it, I mean, how much is, how important is Illinois in the climate picture, right? I mean, if Illinois completely shuts down all of its coal plants and it's all wind and solar and nuclear, and I know there's some debate among environmentalists about how clean, whether nuclear power should be considered clean power. It certainly doesn't produce carbon, although it has other potential negative effects. But setting that aside, how important is Illinois itself? I mean, if Indiana still has coal fired power plants, and India and China still have coal plants. I mean, this is a regional, a national, and international problem to be solved, right? Can you talk about Illinois' role in that, though?
Yeah, so it is an important point that Illinois is not going to solve the nation's, the world's issues by itself. And so interstate, national, and international collaboration and coordination is extremely important, especially led by nations that have resources to do so. With that being said, interestingly, although the problem is global, the action starts local and regional. It is important for Illinois, not just to reduce the impacts of climate change, but also to be, you know, thinking strategically to position itself, as a benefactor of the next, you know, 50 or 60 years worth of progress. And so it is an important piece to move forward to that in Illinois.
Jim, I think last set of questions to you. I think you were the state climatologist for two decades. Can you talk about the change in the public discussion around climate change and the political discussion over that time? I mean, do you think it seems to me we finally moved past the is climate change even happening and is it driven by human activity phases of the conversation? Do you sense that we are in a new taking a new, more unified approach to this, or is that wishful thinking on my part?
Yeah, I think we are in a different environment than we were when I first started out 20, 30 years ago. If you talk about climate change, it was, you know, something to worry about in the future. Whereas now it's evident that it's already arrived and that the concern moving forward is pretty widespread. I probably talk to farmers as much as any group, And there's a lot of conversations about that now that we did not have 10 to 15, 20 years ago. So I think that is moving forward. And I think the other important thing is that while on the social media, you might get the sense that everybody's polarized either for or against the climate change and its impacts. But really, there was a study by Yale University that looked at kind of the broad spectrum, like six categories of from very concerned to very skeptical, and about 3/4 of the U.S. population in their surveys has had at least some concern about climate change. So I think that's another measure of how far we've come in the last 10 or 20 years.
Trent, last question to you. I mean, this maybe sounds pretty bleak to our listeners as we've been talking about these potentially dire consequences. Do you have any words of hope to offer people for the future?
Yeah, maybe a couple of recommendations too. First of all, remove the individual guilt. It can be really easy to put a lot of guilt in yourself, say, I drive this car and I eat this and vice versa, and to remove that, because that's nothing but counterproductive. There are actions that we are taking, we can take to reduce these impacts, reduce overall global warming and make for a cleaner and more productive environment into the future. And if folks are interested in getting involved, if they are worried about climate change, they want to do something. I talked about a systems-based approach, but individuals can take action to really reduce the effects. And it can start with just joining a community group, picking up trash, or helping remove invasive non-native species around their environment. So those sorts of small actions are making a difference, can make a difference. And so just for individuals thinking that this is overwhelming, just starting small.
All right, good advice there. The report is from the Nature Conservancy. You can read an executive summary now on the effects of climate change in Illinois. Trent Ford, Jim Angel, Dana Cronin, thanks for being with us today on the 21st.
You're welcome.
Thank you.